It was great to start the Gospel of John last week and unpacking it, exploring it together. And today we continue. And our reading from John chapter 1, verse 19. And we have this character, John the Baptist. He isn't the author of John's Gospel, but he was the cousin of Jesus. And he has a significant and an important role in helping people get ready to receive and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We read last week how for all those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God and who receive him, God gives the right to become his children. All who believe and all who receive Jesus as the Son of God, God gives the right to become his children. And at the end of last week's passage, we read these words, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. And now John, the disciple, takes us into a narrative where John the Baptist declares who Jesus is. If you want to have a look at this passage online using the YouVersion Bible app, the QR code will take you to the passage and the slides. Reading from verse 19. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who'd been sent to they questioned him, why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one who you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. I want you to imagine for a moment the scene with the crowd surrounding John the Baptist. There is anticipation in the air. People have been waiting for centuries for God to send his chosen Messiah. And that here was a man in the wilderness speaking with authority and power, calling people to repentance, to turning away from their sin and turning back to God. And there is a kind of a sense that something is on the verge of breaking into history. And they're ready to hear the voice of God. But as the Jewish leaders and priests come along, they ask John, who are you? Who is this man standing before them with such boldness? Is he the Messiah, the Christ? Is he Elijah? Is he the prophet? This is where our story begins. Not with John saying straight away, this is who Jesus is. But it's saying straight away, this is who I'm not, as in who John isn't. They've come with preconceived ideas of who the Messiah could be or who John is. And I just, before we have a look at how John answers, I want us to just note that they come to John the Baptist with their preconceptions. Are you Elijah? Are you the Messiah? Are you the prophet? And it's only when they've run out of their preconceived ideas or thoughts that they then openly ask, then who are you? I wonder how many times we come to God or to Scripture thinking, I know about God. I went to Sunday school. Or I know about this Bible passage because I've read it so many times before. And maybe you've come this morning with your preconceived ideas of Jesus. Can I encourage you as we just in our second week going through the Gospel of John, to just pray a prayer every Sunday morning as we come and read together and unpack John's Gospel to help us behold who Jesus is. Pray, God, help me not to have preconceived ideas, but to see you afresh. And to see you as if it's the first time I'm reading this passage. John was questioned, who are you? And he starts with saying who he isn't or who he wasn't. In verse 6 to 8, we see him being described as someone who isn't the light of the world coming into the world. We read that last week. John says he isn't the Messiah. He isn't God's chosen one. He isn't the Son of God, the rescuer from heaven. He isn't Elijah, verse 21. And I've just put the cross reference there that in the Old Testament, it says in a number of places that before the Messiah comes, Elijah will return. And Malachi 3 and 4, there are some verses prophesying that. And then there's this question, are you the prophet? And sometimes we can read through, oh yeah, it's just saying one of the prophets. No, well, no, actually, at that time, they were thinking that from the Old Testament, from way back in the Torah, in the first five books of the Bible, Moses had prophesied that God's chosen one will be called a prophet. And we need to listen to him. So in Deuteronomy chapter 18, and then it's referenced in the book of Acts as well, that God's promised prophet was described by Moses as the one who was to come that the people needed to listen to and follow. And it is understood to be describing Jesus. In Acts chapter 3, we read these words, "For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people.'" So the people, the teachers, the Levites, they were asking, are you the Messiah? No. Are you Elijah? No. Are you the prophet? No. Then who are you? Just jumping briefly to verse 27, John the Baptist says, I'm unworthy. I'm not worthy to even untie the sandals of the one who will come from heaven. We see something of his humility and his understanding of the wonderful holiness and the beauty and power and perfection of the Messiah to come. In a world nowadays where so much of society is let's get the attention on self, John the Baptist is a wonderful example of someone who's saying, it's not about me. He says who he's not in these verses, and he says who he is. He is the voice of one calling in the wilderness, fulfilling a prophecy from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 3, preparing the way for the Lord, making straight the roads for people to meet the Messiah. John the Baptist is saying, I'm simply getting people ready. I'm a witness to God at work, revealing his promises, a preparer of people. I'm a truster in the promises of God, and as a result, I'm a declarer of Jesus' true identity. And what John does is he shifts the gaze of the questioners from himself and onto Jesus. We see in verse 29, "Behold," or "look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." When John sees Jesus, he cries out in a loud voice, "Look, look at Jesus. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," who will literally take away, lift off the sin of the world. It's a radical statement that the Messiah would be a savior from sin, not just bringing peace from the Roman oppressors. And I just want us to dwell on these verses of what John says Jesus is. And I've listed them all up there so we can just read through them slowly. John the Baptist has said, I'm not who you're asking. This is who I am. I'm just someone who's going to point towards who Jesus is, who's going to help people look at him in all of his wonder. In these verses, we see that Jesus is the promised and coming King. He is the one you've been waiting for and looking for, the one that was prophesied about. He is among the people. This is echoes of verse 14 that we read last week, that the Messiah, God's chosen rescuer and savior, would be among the people. So when John the Baptist says, "Among you stands," among you, not far away, not distant, but near you, among you, God's Messiah, God's chosen one, stands. And yet verse 26 also says, like in the prologue, people would not recognize Jesus or understand him or know him. We move into verse 27 where we see John pointing out that he isn't worthy to untie the sandals, the straps of the sandals of the one who will come, which by implication means that the one who is to come, Jesus, is utterly worthy of honor and worship and adoration. He is revealed as the Lamb of God in verse 29. And I've already said about how he removes the sin, but what is this image of a Lamb of God? And the reference here is from Genesis chapter 22 and Exodus chapter 12, both occasions where there is a lamb provided. In the first one, in Genesis chapter 22, there's a father and a son, and the son and the father are going up this mountain to make a sacrifice of worship and obedience to God. And the son says to the father, "Where is the lamb that is to be sacrificed?" And that question has been echoed throughout the years, throughout the centuries, from the moment sin came into the world. Where is the sacrifice that is suitable to pay for our sin? Where is the lamb? And John is saying, as he points towards Jesus, look. The question that has been asked over the centuries, where is the lamb that is able to take away the sin of the world? There he is. And in Exodus chapter 12, God says, where the blood of the lamb is on the doorposts of the people of Israel, the angel of death will pass over them. Symbol, again, of how the Lamb of God will save the people from death. were to behold Jesus, to take notice of him, to pay attention to who he really is. In a world of constant distractions, John in verse 29 is saying, look, behold the Lamb of God. In verse 30, John the Baptist is pointing towards Jesus' eternal existence and his divinity, despite being physically older than his cousin. John is saying, he was before I was, even though John the Baptist was born first. And then in verse 33, we've got some verses about the Holy Spirit. In verse 31, John hadn't fully recognized Jesus' divinity up until now, and he had just focused on what God had given him to do and to be. But in verse 33, we see that John has been told by God that the one on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. If we're to be people who behold Jesus, we're going to need the Holy Spirit to help us do that. To say, Holy Spirit, help us to see God as he really is. Help us to understand Scripture as we read it. Help us to see your hand of creation as we walk out and about. Help us to meet you and delight in you and behold you as we take bread and wine, the symbols of your sacrifice on the cross. Holy Spirit, we're going to need your help so that we can behold Jesus fully. The Holy Spirit will come down on Jesus and remain on him. Verse 33. The Holy Spirit dwelt on Jesus. And he will baptize others with the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes we just think of that expression, baptized with the Holy Spirit, as having the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit. And it's like just one piece of a jigsaw. If we just limit it to that, we're missing out on the fuller understanding of what it means to be immersed, saturated, filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just power and gifts, it's enabling to live with Jesus and become like Jesus. It's confirmation of us being adopted as the children of God. I said at the beginning from last week, all who believe and receive Jesus, God gives the right to become children of God. Yet it's by the Holy Spirit that he confirms that status before God. And maybe this morning you're thinking, I've believed in Jesus, I've received him as my Lord and Savior, but I don't feel like a child of God. Maybe your prayer needs to be, Holy Spirit, show me how I am a child of God this morning. Jesus sends his Holy Spirit, sends his Spirit on us so that we can live according to the way of God, not the way of the world. God baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, showing grace and love poured into us. The love of God poured into us by the Holy Spirit. That's quoting from Romans. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to us. And there's then our last verse, verse 34. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. John finally declares who Jesus is. I've seen, I am witness to that this is God's chosen one, or in some translations it says God's son rather than God's chosen one. We are to behold Jesus. In a world of so many distractions, to fix our eyes on him. Look full in his wonderful face. And when we do that, we're able to answer this question. Because so many people in the world today are saying, I don't know who I am. And they're choosing their identity by what they think or what other people say, rather than what God says of them. They're choosing who to be and how to act or what to believe based on things around them rather than who their Creator says. And maybe who you are gets bashed and bruised, and who you're trying to be gets bashed and bruised because you're trying to get it from yourself or from other people rather than your Father in heaven. Because God says, those who believe and receive, I'm going to be your Father. And you're going to get your identity from me. So as a result of who Jesus is, as we behold who he is, we can say that I am. Sorry, I've lost a slide here. I am, or I can be forgiven. Verse 29, my sins removed from me. I can behold who Jesus is and know him. I can be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Despite being utterly unworthy of God's affection and attention, through Jesus, I can become a child of the Most High God. Empowered by God's Holy Spirit that is given to us through Jesus, I can be a preparer of the people to receive Jesus. Verse 23. I can be a witness to God at work. I can be a truster in the promises of God. I can be a declarer of Jesus' identity. In a few moments, James will lead us in an act of communion, meeting with God through bread and wine, symbols of Jesus' body and blood given for us. As we prepare our hearts for that, maybe you just want to read through beholding who Jesus is. Read through these verses again. And as a result, consider who you are or who you can be. If you turn and believe and receive, let me pray. Father God, there are moments like this that I am utterly amazed that I get to call you Father God. For I know me, and I know that I am a sinner, unworthy to be close to you. And I thank you for John the Baptist's example, where he also knew his utter unworthiness, yet he held on to the truth of your word and the promise you had given him. And thank you, Jesus, that through you, by believing and receiving you, we can become the children of the Most High God. Holy Spirit, continue to reveal who Jesus is and help us to behold him. And help us to know who we are or who we can be as a result. Forgive us. Cleanse us. Give us a new beginning. Like John baptized with water, cleanse us. Like water cleanses, but go even deeper than the skin. Amen.